Well, good morning. I greet you in the name of Jesus, and it is a blessing to be here. I just want to thank Brother Daniel for his honesty. You know, it's all right to get our toes stepped on sometimes, Brother Daniel. The Lord has a way of using brothers in love to keep me humble and to help me recognize that my way isn't the only way, that culture is important, and culture molds and shapes me. So, Brother Daniel, I enjoyed listening to your journey, and I enjoyed the advice that you had for us this morning. I also enjoyed being here this weekend. It's been a blessing for me. I'm going to leave our text scripture this morning. The title of my message, or the title I was given, is Experience God's Power. And I just sat back there yesterday. We were back at the registration table yet, when Brother Clyde was up front here, and Brother Clyde was talking about the Jezreel Valley. And he said, you know, there's a story about an old man that ran most of the length of that valley. And Janet just kind of looked at me a little bit. And I looked at her because my text is taken from 1 Kings chapter 18. We all know the story. It all gives us goosebumps. We love this story. And what we love about it is God showing his power through his servant Elijah. But what we always think is it was Elijah. And we forget we don't get to do that. Elijah put his pants on one leg at a time. Whoops, wait a minute. Elijah didn't put pants on. He wore a robe. But he did it, just like everybody else did. If Elijah wore pants, he put them on just like we do. We don't get to say, but it was Elijah. Elijah was a mere man. If there was a distinction about him, it was his faith in God and his willingness to obey anyway. Thank you, Brother Henry, last night, for expounding on that. Obedience. Obey anyway, even if we don't understand. I don't know that Elijah understood why there needed to be 3 years of drought. Maybe he did. But I don't know that he needed to. When I say he needed to, I mean, I don't know that Elijah thought he needed to. Understand that. God has been building his church with mere men and mere women for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And we don't get to think that it was Elijah or it was Apostle Paul or it was fill in the blank. They were mere men and women, just like you and I are. God wants to use us to build his church. And when we do that, we experience his power. It's not for us. We don't get to experience his power to make Jason feel good or to make him feel like he is somebody or someone special. We get to experience his power so that the church would be built, his kingdom would be furthered, and his name would be made great. You know, we'll see different postures in Elijah, and we'll see that he's a mere man as we look at this passage. We'll see where Elijah could move forward in what he knew to do and what he had the power to do. He did it without hesitation. And then we'll see places where Elijah had no power to do what needed to be done. And he humbly came before his God. Humbly but in faith and obedience. He came before God as his servant to the people. I won't read the entire passage. It's long. But I will read portions of it and make comments on it. And it is a familiar story. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go shew thyself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." So Elijah went to show himself to Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. Ahab had looked everywhere for Elijah, and he couldn't find him. But now the word of the Lord came to Elijah, said, go and show yourself. Verse 3, and Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so that when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them 50 in a cave and fed them bread and water. And I just need to say this, brothers and sisters. Many, many times Jason is like Obadiah. Obadiah feared God greatly. He did this good thing. And then Elijah came on the scene. And Elijah said to Obadiah, Obadiah, go tell Ahab that today I'm going to meet him. And what did Obadiah do? Verse 8, let's jump down there quickly. And this is Obadiah answering Elijah. And he answered him, I am, go tell the Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, what have I sinned that thou wast deliver thy servant to the hand of Ahab to slay me? So immediately Obadiah's response was, not in faith. Not in faith at all. He said, what did I do wrong that you would deliver me to Ahab to kill me? And then, you know what he did? And this is what Jason likes to do sometimes. He went on to say, to tell Elijah everything he did good and why he is God's servant. He didn't need to tell Elijah that. That didn't benefit Elijah anything. It didn't benefit Ahab anything. What it showed, the contrast between Obadiah and Elijah, was simply this: a lack of faith in their God. They served the same God. I just read to you that said Obadiah loved God. He did. But the difference between the two men was their level of faith in their God. And while Obadiah did a good thing, he didn't experience the power of God per se, because he was fearful about what would happen. I love the way Elijah responds, and we miss it in King James. Let me find it here. Verse 15. I'm going to read it in NIV. Elijah said, as the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, I will surely present myself to Ahab this day. To answer Obadiah's fear, he called him back to who God was. As God lives, which Obadiah believed, he just said it. He acknowledged it with his mouth. I will surely present myself to Ahab this day. I won't vanish. I won't be called away like you thought. I am here. And today, I will present myself to Ahab. You know, I commented on the fact that when Elijah knew what God wanted from him, he didn't hesitate and he was strong. And culturally, we miss this. We really do. In that time, you didn't respond to a king the way Elijah did. responds to Ahab here. You know what? We know this story. Ahab comes to Elijah, and that's the way it happened. Ahab came to Elijah. Elijah didn't come to him. And Ahab says, "Who are you, you troubler of Israel?" And Elijah responds and says, "I'm not the troubler of Israel. You are. And oh, by the way, this is what I want you to do." Okay, what we need to understand culturally, that was his head. You didn't talk to a king that way. You didn't. You served at their pleasure. You lived and died at their pleasure. But by making that point to make the point, when Elijah knew what the will of God was, he did not hesitate to make God great and to be God's servant, to be God's man, if you will, or God's woman. He hesitated not at all. I have to confess, I'm not always Elijah. In fact, many times I find myself in Obadiah's shoes, where, like Henry so aptly explained to us last night, I want to make the excuses why I shouldn't do this. What didn't work the last time? If they were miracles, if they happened all the time, they wouldn't be miracles. If God showed up every time I wanted him to, we wouldn't call them miracles anymore. God shows up when he chooses to show up. And he asks me and you to simply have the faith to trust him that he will show up when the time is right, his timing. He asks us to be obedient and to serve him anyway. Let's move ahead here. Already said, Elijah told Ahab, bring all the prophets and bring them to Mount Carmel, and I'll meet you there. He brought 400 prophets of Baal and 450 of Asher, I believe. Yeah, and they came to Mount Carmel. I don't know where Jezebel was in this. She wasn't around, apparently, because we know the rest of the story that happened. But Ahab listened to Elijah. He brought the prophets to Carmel. And I love what happens next. As the servant of God, Elijah gathered the people to him. And Elijah said unto the people, I only remain the prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450. Therefore, give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on the wood, and put fire under it. Elijah set up a contest here between Baal and God. And the people responded by saying, yes, this is a good thing. The God that can bring down fire, he is God. And Elijah said, we know the story, let the prophets of Baal go first. And they did. They spend all day calling on Baal. And Elijah mocks them, and he eggs them on. And finally, at the end of the day, at the time of the sacrifice, of the evening sacrifice, now let's go to verse 30. At the time of the evening sacrifice, Elijah says, people, come here. Come to me, people. And the point I want to make here, these people had left God. They had forsaken God, and they had worshipped idols. And the picture I'm drawing for you, the word picture is, Elijah says, come here, people. Elijah was acting as the servant of God to the people. He was showing that God still loved them. God still wanted them. He still had a plan for them. even in the fact that they had deserted him. Come here, my people. Come here. Despite their sin, God still loved and called them to himself. What did Elijah do next? I said when he knew what was required, he moved forward in confidence. It says the altar was broken down. Elijah took the 12 stones. He built up the altar. He did it according to God's prescribed way. And I just want to jump again briefly back to what Brother Daniel said. You know, he was right in saying as Anabaptists, we can get all hung up on doing it our way. And sometimes there's okay reasons to do it our way. He acknowledged that. But the reality of it is, we need to do it God's way. God's way is cross-cultural. It speaks to all cultures. And there are times, and this is a time, when Elijah did it God's way. He built the altar back up. He took the 12 stones. He placed a sacrifice on it and the wood. And then he did something that was totally out of the ordinary. If you would have been at the temple and they would have been doing the evening sacrifice, here Elijah does something totally out of the ordinary. He tells them to get water and to pour it on the altar and the sacrifice. And he says, do it again and do it again. And it tells us the water flowed down. And Elijah had dug a little trench, and the water flowed down, and it filled the trench. I don't totally understand why Elijah did this. We know in his prayer, he says to God, I have done everything that you instructed me to do. So I assume God told him to put the water on. Now, I know the human reasoning for thinking that he might have done this is so that there would be no chance of any kind of trickery involved. The people are standing there watching. And Henry, last night you said about Peter and his epic possibility of looking like a fool in front of the people. Well, just imagine being Elijah. All Israel was gathered, including all the prophets of the idols and all the priests of the idols' temples. And they're all watching. All eyes are on Elijah. And Elijah does something that removes any possibility that humanly there's going to be a result. He covers everything with water. He has no fire. But that's beside the point, because even if he did, his fire wasn't light anything. It's all wet. I said early on the difference between Elijah and Obadiah was probably their faith. But I want to call to you again here the faith of Elijah in his God. Elijah simply gathers the people to him and he prays this prayer. Verse 36, and it came to pass at the time of the offering, the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back. Nowhere in this prayer does Elijah say, hear me, God, and prove that I am your prophet. He says, hear me, God, and show that I am your servant, and that I have done everything at your command. But more than that, Father, show these people that you have drawn their hearts back to you. The humility of Elijah, his willingness to risk looking like a fool to make God great. But not only to make God great, so that people would be reached, so that the people would know that you are turning their hearts back to you. The work of God in the lives of his people, even people who at this time are living in sin. And we love the next part. This is one of the first Bible stories we hear as children. And God answered with fire, and the fire came down. And even though Elijah went the second mile to prove that it had to be of God, God went beyond that. And I love this picture. The fire fell. It burned the offering, the wood, and the stones, and it lapped up the water in the trench. Wouldn't you just like to see the power of God lapping up the water in the trench and not being extinguished? That's an impossibility. Fire and water can mix. And the fire drank up the water and kept on burning. The power of God to make what? Elijah great? No. Not to make Elijah great. To bring his people back to him. To prove his love to his people. And bring them back to him. And when the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, God, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Now, I agree with Brother Daniel that that's what happened here. Everybody fell on their face. I'm pretty sure that when the sun came up the next morning, they weren't all believers. That's just how human nature is. We know a little later, because we know the next chapter, that God says to Elijah, I reserve 6,000 yet that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. There's probably more than 6,000 people here. I don't know how many people were here, but probably more than 6,000. And we'll talk about that in closing a little bit. But the people fell on their faces. They got it that God loved them. And God was God. But they still needed to own him as God in their hearts. It's one thing to say when fire falls from heaven that the Lord, he is God. It's another thing tomorrow morning to get up. And when God says, Jason, I want you to go do this, for me to fall on my face and say, Lord, you are God, and I'll do it. Now, maybe you don't have a problem with that. Maybe you always immediately obey when God tells you to do something. But sometimes God has to work with Jason a little bit to get him to the point where Elijah was here, because he's a little bit like Obadiah. He's either afraid or whatever. Let's move on. We know what happened next. Elijah had all the prophets slain. That's why he had them there. And verse 41, Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is sound of abundance of rain. Now, we all know the story how it happened. But here we see a different side of Elijah. It says Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he sat down with his head between his knees. I don't know what was going through Elijah's mind. It doesn't tell us that he prayed. It don't say that he sat down with his head between his knees and prayed. What it does say is he sent his servant to go look out over the sea. He said, go look out over the sea. What do you see? And the servant would come back and say, I didn't see anything. Let me find it here in the text and I'll read it. Verse 43, and he said to his servant, go now look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. So seven times he went, and seven times he came back. Elijah was a mere man. I don't know what he was thinking. And there's probably a reason we don't. But here Elijah was tested. His faith in God was tested because God had promised him that he was going to send rain. Elijah fulfilled the commands of God. And now Elijah, as a mere man, had to wait till God's timing was right. And he humbly waited, face towards the ground. If he wasn't praying, he was at least showing submission, respect, willingness to be the servant of God as he said he was. The seventh time the servant went to look for a cloud, he said, I see a cloud as big as a man's hand rising up from the sea. And Elijah says this. Elijah says, go, say unto Ahab, this is verse 44, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. Okay, this isn't a very big cloud. But Elijah saw the faithfulness of God. And I love this part of the story here too. When Elijah saw the cloud, he told Ahab, get home before the rain stops you. And then you know what happened next? This is what Clyde referred to yesterday. It's about 16 miles from Mount Carmel to Ahab's home, give or take, approximately 16 miles. It's going to be pouring rain, and it says, and it came to pass, while the heaven was black with clouds and wind, there was a great rain. You know what that old prophet did? And I don't know if he hitched up his robe. I imagine he took it off. Because you can't run with your robe hitched up 16 miles. It'll fall down. It's pouring rain and blowing wind and dark as night. And the old prophet gets rid of his robe. He runs ahead of Ahab's chariot the whole way home. The power of God to witness to Ahab. Ahab didn't hear. He didn't. Ahab didn't repent. But the power of God. No, Elijah couldn't do it in his power. Not in the pouring rain and wind. At his age, 16 miles. It was in the power of God as a witness to Ahab that Elijah did that. How far am I willing to go? How big is my faith? What price am I willing to pay to reach God's people and to make God great? I mean, this is a Bible story, and it is. But it's a real man that had a real God and a real faith, and he was willing to be spent, to take risk, to obey anyway, to forsake it all, to make God great, and to reach God's people so that God could build his church. He experienced the power as a channel for God. And you know, as I stand before you this morning, it is freeing to be just the channel. It's totally freeing to be just the channel. It's enough because God does the work. And it's in God's power that we are his channel and we can experience it. And lest we forget, I need to end by telling the rest of the story. This man Elijah, who ran 16 miles ahead of Ahab's chariot, the next day it finds him heading into the wilderness because Jezebel threatened his life. Now, His life was at stake this day. He wasn't worried about it because of his faith in his God. But I'm telling the rest of the story to prove the point that he was a mere man just like we are. And sometimes we find ourselves in this Elijah experience. And sometimes we find ourselves in Elijah's experience next day. And he was fleeing to the desert. And ultimately, he spent 40 days running away from God and from Elijah. And here's what I love about this, brothers and sisters. We probably all find ourselves there sometime. You know what I love about it? God found him in that cave. And God reached Elijah and put him back where he wanted him. You know, I have to just say this. On Mount Carmel, it was Elijah that called the fire down with prayer that burned up the rocks. In that cave, God actually told Elijah to go out and stand before him. And the fire came. And if you're a Bible scholar, you know this. When that passage is read, when the fire is passed, Elijah's inside the cave. I don't know if he never went out or if he went out and came back in again. But I do know this. That Elijah knew what the fire of God looks like. And when he saw the fire, I'm pretty sure what went through his mind, that Jezebel was a piece of cake compared to dealing with God. Either way, he ended up back in the cave and God spared him. And the point I'm making is God reached his servant where his servant was. Because what I preach today, Elijah was strong. He was a strong warrior and channel for God. And then we find him a mere man and needing God and the power of God to go on in God's work. Brothers and sisters, that's where we are this morning. We need the power of God to accomplish God's work. We need to experience his power. We need to do it in humility. We need to be willing to make God great again. And I'm going to close with a verse from the song we sang earlier today. I don't know if you meant it when you sang it, but I'm going to challenge you with it now. We all sang, "My heart the altar, and thy love the flame." And if that's where we are, then God can use us to do great things. And we will experience the power of God. Not without cost. Elijah didn't experience it without cost. But where God calls, he enables and empowers. And we have the treasure of the love of God in earthen vessels so that the power and the glory would be for his honor and not for our own. And it is enough to be a servant and a channel. It is enough. That's what we are called to be. And someday, if we're faithful, we won't be the servant in the channel anymore. I love the way Alan says this. We'll be the little brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. Sons and daughters of God. What more could we want? What more could we ask than to be an heir of Christ? A son and a daughter of God. Let's take opportunity. And yes, there'll be times where we fail. But there'll be times where we succeed if we persevere. And we allow God to use us. Let's take the opportunities to reach people and to make God great. For he alone is worthy. And he deserves to be made great amongst his people. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be gathered with brothers and sisters, believers of like faith, people that can encourage and challenge me on in this life, people that can speak into my life, that can speak for you. Father, I pray as we spend time here in fellowship, in further teaching, that your word would speak through your servants who are speaking. but also through brothers and sisters who we fellowship with, that we would hear your voice, that it would minister to us, that it would empower us, enlighten us, encourage us to make you great, to reach your people, to be your hands and your feet, to be salt and light in a world full of darkness and bitterness. Father, help us to show you to the people. No, not so that we would be special, for we are mere men and women, but that you would be lifted up, your church would be built, and souls would be brought into your kingdom. Father, we pray your blessing on all that is said and done. We ask your safety as we leave here, as we go back to our respective areas. Father, continue your work that you have started in our hearts, that we would accomplish the purpose that you have for each and every one of us. I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.